Hola, hola. Buenos días, good morning, everyone. Sabah al-khair. Bonjour. What a pleasure to be with you again. What an honor. And what a joy. Our very last time here was right before the beginning of the COVID-19 season worldwide. So we were here in Boise, actually sharing the word with you on Sunday, and a few days later, my wife and I, my wife Patricia, my better half, we were trying to go back home. So in Boise, Seattle, Seattle, Denver, Denver, Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C., Frankfurt, Frankfurt, Valencia, Spain. Whew. We made it. So, and the whole world has been living a very, let's say, unusual season. The whole world. You have been living this here in States. We have been living this in Europe and in the North Africa, Middle East region of the world. It is amazing, you know, what is been happening in the four corners of the world. But nothing has been taking God by surprise. And this has been an amazing season for the growth of the gospel in the most unexpected places on earth. So he has been using a difficult season and our own struggles for his own glory. So we have seen many, in my case, muchas gracias, hermano. David is my Spanish personal assistant. So, with that in mind, I've been, like many of you, revisiting the Bible together, reading the Bible in our home, and seeking the face of the Lord worldwide, the Church of the Lord. And today I am planning to revisit a very well-known passage with you. You have to forgive me, and if not, please repent. So Philippians chapter 4 is a very well-known passage. And let me give you another context. We have been living the COVID-19 season, and at the same time, you know, we have been living seasons when the door was open to do something, and then just to see the door shutting down and then reopening again. So we've been living trying to take the best of the small windows of opportunity that we had during the last year, in communion with the global church, but in our case, in communion with the Christian born-again believing community in the Arab world. It is happening. So finally, after 1,000 years of, and I don't know if this is politically correct, but I don't care. But after 1,000 years of oppression by Islam, the Church of the Lord is coming back. It's coming back. We have not just survived. The church in the midst of suffering is flourishing and giving us some glimpses of following Jesus in difficult circumstances. That's why this passage has been very meaningful to me. It's very famous. We are going to be reading Philippians 4 from verses 10 till verses 20. And let me say something beforehand. You know my routine. I am going to apologize with you beforehand for my British English. So I promise that I'm going to destroy your language this very morning. So, If we remember, Paul was in a very difficult circumstance. By the time when he was writing this letter, he was on jail, probably in Rome, and very lonely, when suddenly Epaphroditus, what a name, came to visit Paul, sent by the Macedonian churches. And if we recall, the Macedonian churches were the very first European churches in the missions world, and through the Apostle Paul journeys. And these churches were so special for Paul. They have developed a very special relationship. And even though, as you may imagine, we have to touch some verses about money, money is not the issue on these verses. The point is relationships in the body of Christ, supporting one another. And in this case, supporting one another with a purpose. So Paul was in a difficult position, not knowing what is going to happen with his future. And as far as we understand, these churches were facing difficult times as well. So some says that Paul is repeating the word joy or something similar at least 16 times in this 4 chapters letter. And there was a reason why he was encouraging believers to be joyful, because they were facing difficulties. If you read chapter 1, verses 29, and this is going to be a Spanish translation to English, but it says that the Lord has given you not just the privilege to believe in him, but to be suffering for him. It's a concession. It's a gift. So believe in Christ is a gift from God. But suffering for his name is a gift from God. Suffering is part of the Christian experience. And actually, it's rare not to be at least receiving some kind of rejection because of our faith. At least some rejection. So suffering and trials has been part of the Christian experience since the days of Christ. So, and I have heard during the last year, us in the West, that includes Latin Americans, saying, let's say complaining for the whole thing. If we have to use mask, if we have not to use mask, if I to use the vaccine, if I am not going to use the vaccine, and we've been discussing peripheral things for a year. I am not questioning your judgment or my judgment on this regards. I am saying that in the kingdom of God, there's more important things happening in terms of the name of Jesus being known for every nation, language, and tribe on earth. That's the most important mission of the church. Okay, I am not angry. I'm just passionate. That's my Latino side. You have to forgive me, you know. So, I respect everybody. You know, but it's been, we have been in Spain, in Valencia. We used to live in the Middle East, in Jordan. Then my kids come to college. We decided to be some few years helping them to close this season. We have been traveling very often from Valencia to the other world. Just to say that from Valencia to Morocco is one hour by plane. So we've been trying in the midst of the pandemic, trying to go back and forth. And seeing the body of Christ in those contexts, not just suffering because the virus itself, but seeing the Muslim governments oppressing them in the name of the virus. And seeing them persisting in their faith, like Paul. So he was in jail because he was preaching the gospel. Finally, he became a big problem for the empire. Now, He is the one who appeals to Caesar, if you remember, in the books of Acts. But he was in a difficult position. So, and he's going to talk about joy. He's going to talk about suffering. He's going to talk about trust in God. He's going to talk about the unity of the church. He's going to talk about the incarnation of Christ. And by the end of the letter, he's going to say thank you to the church in Philippians. And when he is expressing his gratitude, there's a lot of very nice information out there. Let's read together. So I am reading in an easy-to-read English version. You have to forgive me. So it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. You know, they lost track of the apostle. So he was in the middle of a very difficult journey, but seems like they were wanting to keep helping him, but they were losing some track. But the point is that through Epaphroditus, they got in touch again. So, 11, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, much or nothing. I have learned the secret, and the word there is the mystery of being content. I have learned the mystery, the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So through my journey in my Christian faith, through my journey in my Christian service, sometimes I have been plenty, and sometimes I had nothing. Sometimes I have been well-fed, and sometimes I had hungry. But through that journey, not because we are a kind of superheroes believers or that we can claim promises out of context, he was learning something through the difficult journey of life. And in his case, life serving the king. And then comes the very well-known verse 13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Let me say this in Spanish because it sounds beautiful. Todo lo puedo en Cristo que me fortalece. What a beautiful language, by the way. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can go through pain. I can go through persecution. I can go through poverty. I can go through COVID. I can go through everything in Christ Jesus. If I am holding his hand, I am going to be traveling through difficult times, because that is normative in the Christian experience and in the human experience. But in our case, we have Jesus on our side, holding our hands. So, I've been learning in my case to not live with fear when we are visiting our friends in the outer world. By the way, nobody knows where Costa Rica is. That's a real benefit. So, seems like my country is not threatening anybody. We just have beautiful poisoned frogs in our rainforest area. So, but fear has been one of the most repeated words during the last year. Because nobody is really understanding what is going on in health issues, in politics, and the whole political world outside of the U.S. is just getting crazy. I know that you don't have that kind of problems here. So, we have a problem of, there's a lack of leadership globally, integrity, and persecution. But Paul is saying, yes, those circumstances are there, are real, are tangible, and are going to be there in one way or another. But I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That's the whole thing about the Christian faith. That we are, sorry for my words, I'm quite sure, but we are attached. We are embracing the author of life. So, then it says, yet it was good of you to share your troubles. They were helping Paul throughout his journeys. It says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. And if you remember, the Macedonian, these new European churches were sending support to Paul from Philippos to Thessaloniki, and then they were present when he was in Corinth, and then they were present when Paul was raising funds for the poor people in Jerusalem. So for a long period of time, these humble churches were very present in Paul's life. And then he's saying, I can do all things in Christ Jesus, but let me say thank you. Let me say gracias for your company to me. So, 16, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. You were remembering me. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire that more be credited to your account. You believe that you were blessing me, but at the end of the day, you are going to be more blessed by the Lord. Not because we do transactions with the Lord, but because generosity is part of the heir of the kingdom of God. So, 18, I have received full payment and have more than enough. He's using accounting words here. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you send. They are your support, your presence with me in my journey are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And again, this is not about money. You know, the giving, generous, The koinonia, you know the word koinonia? The koinonia of these churches with the expansion of the kingdom of God through Paul and company smell very well to the Lord of Lords. When we have this kind of generous attitude, especially with the kingdom of God, this is part of the Christian journey. And again, he is having this conversation In a moment of uncertainty for him, Paul, and for the churches. It's about getting together, giving company, embracing, giving support. Now is the time for the Christian or the global church to get together, to be together in difficult times. That's our experience in the Middle East. We have to keep together. If we are going to survive this COVID in one side and Muslim oppressing governments and terrorist groups against the kingdom, we have to be together trusting in God. Just 2 months ago, I was crossing the border between Senegal and Mali in West Africa. My very first visiting to Mali was more than 20 years ago. Finally, I'm getting old. So 20 years ago, it was a traumatic experience for me. crossing borders and the whole chaos of that situation. So that I was returning years later, I was quite nervous, as you may imagine. So, and now in Mali, there's at least four terrorist groups trying to take over the government. So, and there's a bunch of American missionaries kidnapped for the last 3 years in Mali. And we have to pray for them. Because they were preaching the gospel. That was the reason. So, and then I landed in Mali. And I was showing my passport. And I had an invitation of the Baptist Convention Churches of Mali. They have a kind of legal association in the country. I am not Baptist, but that day I love Baptists. So, and then in the middle of our conversation, he was asking me difficult questions. What's the purpose? The normal questions, but you feel quite vulnerable, you know. What's the reason of your trip? I can see that you are going to be with a Christian community. Is that right? Yes, you are right. And how many days? And the whole thing, and asking and asking. Finally, he told me. Then he said, I can assume, this is a stupid question, but are you a Christian minister? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Yes or no, Mr. Matamoros? And I said, yes, I am. Full of courage and boldness. And then he told me, please approach to the window. I need to tell you something. Okay. Yes, sir. And then he said, God bless you, brother. I am a disciple of Jesus too. Ahoo! So God is on the move and during these difficult times, and we have to get together as the global church. So, okay. Closing. Because he is expressing gratitude for the offerings, the company, that they are getting together. And that is, he says, 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. This is not an isolated promise. It's coming with the whole context. That we are on this together. You are suffering in one way. I am suffering in another way. But even though you were remembering me with your generosity, thank you for Epaphroditus. Thank you for the offerings. Because at the end of the day, here we are together. And what you have done is smell good to the face of the Lord. So, he's going to provide everything that we may need. In this generosity air that the church needs to transpire. Generosity not just about money, but about relationships, about embracing the different, the other, the stranger, the foreigner, the widow, the orphan. It's about faith, but faith needs to be expressed in serving and loving others. God, love your neighbor. Oh, love God, love your neighbor. Okay, you got the point. Closing verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's outstanding that after all of this scenario, Paul is saying, yes, I am in jail. You are far away remembering me. We are facing difficulties, but we can do everything in Christ. God is going to provide. Let's keep together. Let's be generous. And remember that at the end of the day, we have much or nothing, to God be the glory. We are happy or in suffering, to God be the glory. If we are facing the virus or not, to God be the glory. He is the ruler of the universe. Everything else is temporary. Just God is eternal. And he is my God and your God. And that brings me hope, dear ones. So, let me share maybe two or three thoughts. Number one, I've been challenged by the whole discussion or the whole argumentation of Paul about to be content, no matter the circumstances. So one word. It works perfectly in Spanish, so sorry if it doesn't work in English. But I'm leaving in a few days, so I don't care. So number one is content. The challenge to be content no matter what is going on. And that just God can produce this. This is not human. It should be supernatural. If you read the verses before, he's saying, submit all of your needs. And then the supernatural peace of the Lord is going to come to us. It is not going to be an absence of struggles. But God is going to be always present. Let's be content, if I may say. So let's reflect on this during this season of the world that has not finished yet. So we just got our permission to come back to the U.S. a few days ago. So, and I was missing Boise terribly and missing you all as well. But at the same time, missing some of my brothers and sisters in Muslim context, living their faith out for the glory of the Lord. We were missing them terribly. Now that we are able to go back to Morocco, to Tunis, to Egypt, to Jordan, la 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 la, as the Arabs like to say, what a joy to be laughing together again, to be content. Let me show you, and just a quick explanation, just a second. 3 weeks ago, well, several months ago, but 3 weeks ago, finally, it was possible to go to Syria. Syria has been on the spot for the last decade as a place where everything terrible that you can imagine was happening there, isn't it? So, total destruction. What was the word that we were using last night? Demolish. They have demolished everything. And three Muslim factions fighting against them and civils in civil or normal people in between. So, and then I got an invitation to go there to get in touch with a few believers, they told me. So, and I was needing to be landing in Beirut, Lebanon, and Lebanon is chaotic, and we can talk about it in a different opportunity. And then taking a taxi, drove by somebody else that I don't know. I was traveling with an Argentinian fellow. So a good friend of years of service, the two of us. We got to the Lebanese border, then the Syrian border. And I was hearing a sing in my mind crossing the Syrian border. Dun, 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 dun. You know, I was full of faith. So, when we were at the Syrian border, suddenly we were just explaining and trying to do the whole paperwork. And they were asking us, what is the purpose of your visiting? And my friends in Syria told me, you have to tell them that you are a pastor. I thought, bind the devil. No, I didn't do this. So, he told me, you have to tell them that you are a pastor and that you are going to be visiting the local Christian community. No way. But I did it. I had no option. So, and then we were in the middle of the paperwork, and you have to know that Costa Rica has a lot of problems, my small country. We have many problems, but we don't have army forces. So to have soldiers on the street is a quite... We have crime in our streets, but not soldiers. So I was there shaking when somebody approached us, and he was a Syrian pastor. He was wearing this clerical collar. Like I grew up as a Catholic in Costa Rica, so that was something that in my country was used by Catholics, not by evangelicals. Maybe you have this in America, but I didn't. So, and then he came smiling, and he was talking with the police, blah, 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 blah. And then, ahla wa sahlan, welcome to Syria. And then we were there during the night. We slept, and then we woke up. And then we began the exploration in order to understand what is going on in terms of missions and the state of the church in Syria after the war. So, I was praying all the time. And I want to show you some pictures, but I was amazed about the level, the capacity of the human beings of destroying one another. So, then they told me, we are going to be, Alan, 2 hours north from Damascus in a certain village, and we are going to have a small gathering with local believers. So, and then we were driving there. We had a wonderful Middle Eastern lunch. Wonderful, by the way. Syrian food is amazing. And then I was talking with them, and I said, is the war over? They said, yes, the war is over. But in this particular area, we have a terrible problem with kidnapping. But please, don't be worried. Okay. That kind of information maybe was going to be useful beforehand. So, but that's okay. Kidnapping. Gloria a Dios. Praise God. So, and then we went to an apartment a few minutes from that place. And finally, I counted 50-something people. And then they told me, Alan, don't you want to share the word of God today? They told me 5 or 10 minutes prior to the service. Praise God, I am Latin American, and I can improvise always. So, and then I had my message, and they were began to sing. I was trying, because they were quite nervous, you know, about visitors. But I took my telephone and trying to record a few minutes of them celebrating the name of Jesus Christ as the Lord of the universe, as our sufficient Savior. And I want to share with you a few minutes of this. After 10 years of war and destruction and persecution, God has kept a remnant of disciples of Jesus in the midst of the most devastated suffering that we have seen in a number of years. Praise God. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. So, and I was there crying as usual, and I promised myself I am not going to cry today at Grace Bible. So, but God has been faithful. Faithful. He has preserving his people, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. More than a prophet, he is the Son of God. And he's sitting down at the right hand of God, interceding for his people. Praise God. So, content. Content. And Paul was facing difficulties as well. And he's saying, hey guys, we have many reasons to be content. No matter if we have much or less, if we're suffering or not, if we have peace of persecution, we can do all things in Christ Jesus. Secondly, it's related with the first, but let me take it as a separate point. It's about gratitude. Gratitude. The whole letter of Paul to the Philippians is full of gracias. To be grateful, no matter of the circumstances. Thank you for Epaphroditus. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for God's faithfulness. Thank you that you have been with me defending the gospel, chapter 1. So gratitude, number 2. Number 3, Paul is telling them that they have been, and the first word is content, the second one is gratitude, and the third one is co-participants. You have been co-participants with me in the task of proclaiming and defending the gospel. You were far away in Macedonia. I've been traveling around the whole Roman Empire. Now I am in jail in Rome. But even though you have been my companions on this journey, we have been together. So our prayers here in Boise, our offerings, our generosity as atmosphere or air is transforming you in co-participants of what the Lord is doing. In some regards, we all were together in Syria a few weeks ago. So every time that we remember the ones that are suffering here in Boise or globally, we are becoming co-participants of God's work. And finally, it's about the glory of God. I already mentioned something. So content, gratitude, co-participants, and God's glory. Paul didn't lose from his sight that at the end of the day, every creature or criatura is going to be bowing down before his throne, worshiping his name. And John Piper liked to say, missions or evangelism is a temporary task. Worship is going to be forever. Worship is going to be forever. So now is the time to be part of God's kingdom and attracting others to his flock. Amen. I'm going to pray and then a short PowerPoint. Is that right? Dear Lord, we love you. We love you. We celebrate what you have done. And in the midst of the current situation, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of suffering, you have been glorifying your name. You have been faithful. You still are ruling the universe. Nothing escaped from the sight of the Lord. You are God, and we honor Jesus this morning. Jesus, thank you for this spirit of happiness in the midst of trials. Thank you, Jesus, for this generosity atmosphere in the midst of economic or health uncertainties. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to be co-participants with the global task of the church, here in Boise, Idaho, with our neighbors, and maybe with the immigrants or the refugees, I don't know. Help us to embrace them as well as you are embracing them. And transform us in co-participants of the kingdom. And help us, Lord, in the midst of fear, in the midst of scarcity, or in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our struggles, to not lose from my side and our side that you are the king. You are in the throne. And at the end of the day, every single tribe, language, and nation is going to bow down before your throne in adoration. Let us remember that our present duties are temporary, but worship to you is going to be forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for surviving again. Just something very fast. I can do it here, right? Okay. I'm going to... Well, this is what the world is remembering about Syria. 6 million people in internal displacement and millions outside as refugees. So, those were my first impressions getting into the country. So, and what the human beings can do, what the sinful nature of my heart, our hearts, can do without the ruling of Jesus Christ in us. So I was totally amazed of walking by through those streets. And then we got to this place, and let me share, that was right before the singing that you saw. I was preparing my message in this apartment. And then while I was talking with some of my new Syrian believers' friends, this guy was sat down in a corner, fixing his eyes in this foreigner. And then, because he was so concentrated, I became to feel quite uncomfortable for some reason. And then, I don't know from where, I just felt, I'm going to use my Spanish here. Let's see what happened. And Spanish always works, I promise. And then I saw this guy and I said, hola, ¿cómo estás? Hi, how are you? And then this guy told me in a very nice Venezuelan Spanish, ¿cómo estás, chico? ¿Todo bien? Increíble que estés aquí. How are you doing, dude? I'm so happy that you are here. And I said, I'm happy to, but what are you doing here? And then he said, my grandpas and my parents migrated from Syria to Venezuela decades ago during the good oil times in Venezuela. And they were trying to start a new life in Venezuela. But now Venezuela is in a horrible situation. And my family used to be Muslim. Some of my relatives were Muslim and some were Druzes. I don't know if you have heard about that religion, Druzes. And some of us came to the Lordship of Jesus in Venezuela. And Venezuela is horrible, Syria is horrible. But in Venezuela, they have the gospel. And in Syria, they don't have the gospel. It's a minuscule presence of Christian believing. So, with my wife and my relatives, we decided to go back to the land of our forefathers in order to bring the gospel here. That's why I am here. Now, we had that conversation in beautiful Spanish. Somewhere in the Middle East in Syria, 2 hours from Damascus. Gloria a Dios. So English is important, but Spanish as well. So, what a beautiful conversation. He told me, can I help you? Because it's pretty obvious that you are going to need some help with your Arabic. I said, okay, yes, nice to meet you. So, and he was my translator, and I was preaching about 2 Timothy verses 1 to 9 or 10, At the end of the passage said, but the word of God is not imprisoned. And we had a wonderful time with all of these guys. So, some pictures of the area. This one on your left is, I don't know the word in English, but it says that when the Apostle Paul, when Jesus presented to Paul, he got blind. And he was at the house of Judah. And at the straight street, that is the straight street now, 2,000 years later. Now they have a roof. So, and close by is the Judah house where Hananias came to impose hands and heal Paul from his blindness. So, and then just know the whole city got destroyed by the grace of the Lord. Or that you have heard this. So, and the imponent, that word exists in English, the giant, the impressive mosque of Damascus is still there. Once upon a time, the Muslim branch of Syria rules the Muslim world. And that was one of the most important mosques in the world at the time. So, the most important rival of Damascus for a season used to be in Cordoba, Spain, because Spain was under the rule of Muslims for 800 years. So that was very impressive to me to see this. And finally, let me close with this. We were needing to leave the country, and my Arabic friends told me, Alan, there's one way to leave the country easily. You have to use this ecclesiastic clerical collar. Welcome to the club. They say, oh no. So they took me to a Muslim tailor and he did the shirt and the whole collar thing. And I took that picture as a testimony of my shame that day. In the middle is my Argentinian friend and on the other side, my brother, my beloved brother, Rami. A Christian Syrian pastor. He got invitations from the West in order to leave the country. And he rejected every one of the invitations, all of the years of the war, saying, I have to be with my flock, with my people. I'm going to stay here. We have to survive. We are going to overcome this in the name of Jesus. And finally, there's some light at the end of the tunnel. The two other pictures, it's about places in Damascus where they still today remember that Paul the Apostle find Jesus at the doors of Damascus. To God be the glory. I love you. Have a good day. Thank you very much.